Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Welcome to the first of the new, shorter, and now twice weekly Ghost Rap Podcast. It will now go out on a Thursday and a Tuesday morning in Ghost Mail, so look out for that. And hopefully that delivers you fresher insights as opposed to one longer podcast per week. Let's get into it. Hold on tight if you are in gold. The old joke about something being a gold mine does not always work out in practice. For example, Anglo Gold expects headline earnings per share to halve in the 6 months to June. Yes, that is a drop of between 48% and 58%. So what was that about all that glitters? With inflationary pressures on costs and only slightly higher gold production at Anglo Gold, along with environmental provisions in Brazil, it just hasn't been a happy financial period for the company. Sticking with gold, there are also problems at Sibanye-Stillwater in the gold side of the business, and you may recall they had a huge amount of labor unrest recently, so that's not good news at all. They've now suffered damage to the Kloof 4 shaft and suspended operations there. Those operations account for around 14% of the group's annual gold production, excluding DRD Gold, so they really do need to fix it ASAP. With a more positive flavor for the industry at least, we saw Gold Fields report a drop in HEPS of just 9% to 16%, which isn't lacquer in isolation, but it looks positively wonderful compared to Anglo Gold. If anything, the only good news in the sector this week was that Pan African Resources has raised the funding needed for the Mintails project. A 1.3 billion rand senior debt package is the final piece in the puzzle there, with a total of 2.5 billion rand raised through debt and derivative structures. I must tell you, I find it quite difficult to be bullish on telecoms. I'm with Vodacom personally, and I spend much less now in nominal terms than I did several years ago. In other words, without even adjusting for inflation. Not only has the price of data come down drastically, but the shift from traditional spend on things like phone calls to WhatsApp calls has really put pressure on how cell phone networks earn revenue. Long gone are the days of them ruining teenage romance with depleted SMS bundles. Now, to make it even worse, the networks need to contend with the costs of load shedding and vandalism at their towers, along with a never-ending capex treadmill to ensure that the network is modern and competitive. Just go look at the share prices of the companies in this space over the past few years and you'll see what I mean. The latest from MTN is HEPS growth of between 0% and 10% for the 6 months to June. The forex issues remain a big problem there, with holding company debt towards the top end of guidance. Consolidated debt looks okay, but that's hardly the point here, as it is all about upstreaming the cash to the mothership, and that is precisely the challenge at MTN. And at Telkom, which is the bruised and battered company in the sector, revenue increased 3.8% in the quarter ended June, but group EBITDA fell by 4.2%. Telkom finds itself on a treadmill of note, with the legacy businesses dying and the new generation stuff just not growing quickly enough. There are no holy cows in the group, with practically every underlying business up for strategic discussion and either a disposal or an introduction of new partners. Talk about calling all pockets. If you think that the telecoms businesses are having a tough time, then you should try Elizon for size. If the Bundu Power acquisition doesn't work out for them, then honestly all bets are off about the future of this business. The group reported a headline loss of 10.78 cents in the year ended April. The share price is now down to just 7 cents, slightly above the tangible net asset value per share of 6 cents. The group needs to raise 120 million rand in fresh capital at 7 cents per share. So the really ironic thing here is that Ellie's might end up being one of the very few companies on the JSE that actually raises equity at a premium to its net asset value. But if they don't get that right, then they will be a business based around the positively prehistoric business model of satellite dish installations, imagine, along with the sale of various electrical components, which is hardly going to keep Apple up at night in terms of being a lucrative business model. Literally everything depends on the Bundu Power acquisition. I end off with Curo, the education group that has indicated strong numbers for the 6 months to June, and I was quite pleasantly surprised by that. Despite obvious challenges like middle-class immigration and massive pressure in utility and property costs, Curo grew its recurring HEPS by between 26.5% and 45.5%. Recurring HEPS is the right metric here because the comparable period included the receipt of a subsidy by Meridian, something that is not going to happen in every period. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.